Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that special. That was beautiful. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Let's go ahead and pray first, and I'll tell you where we're going to go. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you allow us to serve you each and every day of our lives. I think back to the time that I got saved and how unworthy I was to have you send your son to die on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, be buried and rise again the third day. I don't know why that you would love me the way you did, but I thank you for that love and for that kindness that you showed to me all those years ago. I pray that you'd help us to serve you with all of our hearts. Father, may you be honored and glorified through everything in our lives. So many times I think back to times to where maybe I was cold and indifferent towards you and how you just kept working on my heart and just allowing me to be used of you. And Father, I pray that each and every heart in here today would be warmed, would be soft, would be moldable, would be pliable in your hands. I know it's hard sometimes. You get to where you're raised in a Christian home, maybe don't really know anything about the world, spend all your time in a Christian school, maybe all the way up through Bible college. And Father, it's not that anybody in here needs to experience what the world is like to appreciate salvation, but it just seems like it's easy for us to not appreciate it as much when we haven't tasted the things that the world has to offer. So Father, may you help us to be all that you want us to be in our lives, in every aspect of it. May we serve you and not seek glory, not seek fame, not seek a name for ourselves, but realize that all we need to be doing is uplifting the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he is magnified, he is glorified, he is uplifted. And we could say, like John said there in the book of John, that he must increase, but I must decrease. Father, thank you for allowing us to be to the place in our lives where we can serve you. I know you want to use each and every person in here, but sometimes pride gets in the way. Sometimes other things get in the way. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. Sometimes we allow circumstances and bitterness to get in our heart. Sometimes we allow things to happen in our lives that just kind of take us away from what you would have for us and being in the center of your will. So, Father, please, do a work in our hearts as only you can. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And let's look here in the Word of God. I know you all know the story. I could have you come up here and give the story of David and Goliath. But, you know, this is, I tell you, I've preached the story of David and Goliath so many times throughout the years of preaching that, you know, you'd think it'd get old after a while. But every time I read it, every time I get to preach it, every time I look at it, it's just as exciting as the first day that I ever read it. And I hope it's that way for you. You could sit here this morning and you could say, well, it's another preacher. We've heard all kinds of preachers already, and we're only into the month of October. We've had chapel services. You go to Bible classes, you go and sit through Thursday night service tonight, all day Sunday, ministries on Saturday. And you know, we can get so used to serving God that it becomes old hat. And I hope that that's not the way it is in your life, that it doesn't become old hat, that it's not just something that this is what I have to do on Saturday, this is what I have to do at 12:15, sorry, 11:15 here. You guys are on the wrong time. So, sorry, it's something you have to do at 11:15 in the morning, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And so we can sit there, and we can put our grump on, and we can put our frown on, and we can sit here, and you get all comfortable, and you get used to things, and lo and behold, it's all over with, and then you can go eat lunch. All right, so let's not do that this morning. Take your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let's see what God has for us. Now, before we even start, I need somebody that would be willing to volunteer. I'm not going to tell you what you're going to do, what's going to happen until after you volunteer, but I need somebody real quick just to run right up here and be a volunteer. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. There you go. Have a seat. That's all you got to do. You can go. Actually go back and sit down there. It always pays to volunteer, I want to tell you. God is good to us, and it's always good to volunteer. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse number 1, let's stand together. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokoh and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side of Israel, stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a tartar of brass upon his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Now, I'm not going to get into all the specifics on that because I don't want to look at Goliath because I don't like looking at the enemy. But I will say this. We can argue about inches, but he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 foot 9 inches tall. I mean, this was a big guy, all right? This isn't a little fella. He was big. Now, we can sit and we can argue about inches, but the fact of the matter is, being over 9 foot tall makes him a giant. All right? So that's who we're dealing with here. The Bible says in verse number 8, and he stood and cried cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come up out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to you, down to me. Now, let me ask you this. How tall was King Saul? We know he was what? Anybody remember? Head and shoulders above all the rest of the people. So he wasn't any little guy. And, you know, he should have been the first one to go out there and take on Goliath. But he wasn't. The fact is, what I want you to understand about this is you never let the enemy make the rules. I mean, the Goliath comes out and he says, listen, you give me a man that we may fight, and if I kill him, then you're going to be our servants, and if he kills me, then we're going to be your servants. That's what the Bible says here just in a few minutes. And the fact is this, that we need to look at that and understand that when the world offers you a deal or if the world tries to make the rules, why do we listen to that? Why do we go along with those things? You know, we sit there and you look at that and it's like, no, listen, who made you the boss that you're going to tell us what we're supposed to be doing? Now, King Saul, obviously, the Holy Spirit had already left him. But they should have had God on their side and God doing the commanding. All right, so let's go on here. Verse number 9, it says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were greatly afraid. And then, of course, we find out there's David. We find out that the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul. And so let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that over the next half hour or so that you would just speak to our hearts as only you can. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 15 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Can you imagine this going on for 40 days? And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses and the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Let's stop there for a minute. Who I want to really look at this morning is this fellow by the name of David. David is, I'll just be honest, he's my favorite character in the Bible. I mean, I just love studying about David. I love reading everything I can about David. And you sit there and you look at David's life and you say, well, he sinned and messed up. You know, the difference about David with his sin is he repented and got right. I've seen so many people that get to the point in their lives to where they mess up. And I'm going to tell you, there can be some really big mess ups. And there can be some sins that really drastically change your life for the worse. But are you going to sit there and wallow around in that puddle of mud for a while? Or are you going to get back up and say, listen, I did wrong. Admit it. I did wrong. But you know what? God can fix things and he can put the pieces back together. And maybe I'll never be exactly what God wanted me to be. But I'm going to be the best I can possibly be for God right now. So we look here and it says in verse number 20, it says, David rose up early in the morning, and then it says he took and went as Jesse had commanded him. So let's look at some characteristics of David this morning. And I want you to notice the first off, that he was obedient. David was obedient. And I'm going to tell you, we need some of that in our society today. You say, well, you know what, I'm a kid, and I'm still in high school, and I sit there and I think about being obedient, and I get sick and tired of hearing those things. I wish I was an adult and I didn't have to listen to anybody. Do you think that's really the way it is? If you think that's the way it is, then next time take your vehicle and start going up and down the streets of Chesterton, where it's a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit zone, and keep going 60-mile-an-hour up and down those streets and see how long you don't have to be obedient to somebody. The fact is, your entire life is a life of obedience. That's your entire life. I'm to obey God. I'm to sit there and I'm to obey those that have the rule over me. I'm supposed to be subject unto the higher powers. You know, as you sit there and say, well, you're a pastor. You get to be in charge of everything. No, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. You know, we need to go back to what the Bible has to say and understand that God has a rule for everybody, and he expects everybody to obey. Now, be obedient. David, you know what he did? His dad said, I want you to get this food together. I want you to go down and see how your brothers are doing. I want you to take this food to the captains of the armies. And David got up early in the morning, didn't waste any time, got up early, and he went and did exactly what Jesse, his father, told him to do. Be obedient. I see there in verse number 20 that the Bible says David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. You know, I see that David also was responsible. He was responsible. Be responsible. You say, I want my parents to be able to trust me. I want my pastor to be able to trust me. Then be responsible. Trust isn't something that's just handed blindly to somebody. Trust is something that you earn over time. And you're sitting there, and when you do this small thing the right way, and you do this small thing the right way, and you do this small thing the right way, then they ask you to do something else and something else. And when you look back over your life, you sit there and you think, wow, look how much they trust me. And you begin to understand You begin to understand how important it is that you fulfill those responsibilities because of that trust that's been put upon you. I'm going to tell you, David was obedient, but he was also responsible. He didn't just take off and leave the sheep. He left them with a keeper. He's like, well, you know, Dad told me to go do this, so that means I just leave this sitting there. You know, how many times, you know, you walk in, and it's like, hey, you know, can you go out and do this? Sure, I'll go do that. Out the door you go. Well, you know, the potatoes are still frying on the stove. You know, you need to take care of your, be responsible. You know, grab a brother, grab a sister, you know, turn the fire down, do something, but you're in charge of this and you get asked to do this and you say, I can't do everything all at once. Well, welcome to the ministry. Welcome to the ministry when you find out, you know, how many in here are called to preach? No girls, please. All right, we have several in here. Guess what the ministry is going to be about? Man, you are going to have so many responsibilities that it's unbelievable. And you sit there and you think, I can't take this. Well, that's just the way it is. You know, it's like, it's just like somebody that says, I think my kids, you know, they're the preacher's kids, and I don't think that they should be held to a higher standard than other people. You know what? It might be wrong, but that's just the fact of life. When you step into the pastorate, you might as well just guarantee one thing. You will be living in a glass house. There just isn't any way around that. You say, it's not right. Nope. It's not fair. Nope. They shouldn't do those things. Nope. But that's the way it is. And so just accept that. You know, you get somebody that says, well, you know, I think we should be able to have some office hours, and I'm the preacher, and don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's just the way it happens. Anybody that goes to the hospital only can go to the hospital at 2 a.m. If some lady in your church is expecting, mark it down. They can't have the baby at 4 p.m. They can have the baby at 11 a.m. so you can go, hey, nice little kid, and then go out to lunch. It's always in the middle of the night. In fact, every one of my kids, I had 5 of them, and every single one of them kept me up all night long. Don't you feel bad for me? I sit there and I think about, you know, watching my wife and all the torture that she went through. I can remember when Michaela, our oldest, was born, and she's sitting there, and, she's not eating for like 2 days. It was like a really long, hard labor. And so I'm starving. She's starving. And so somebody brought me some Long John Silvers. Well, imagine if you are trying to deliver a baby, and you're already hungry, and somebody brings your husband, and he's sitting there while you're all through the pains, and you're going, you'll be all right, honey, you'll be all right. And my wife just looks at me and goes, can you please do that in another, eat that in another room? You know, it's just grease. But the fact is, no matter who you are and where you are in life, it doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter, everybody needs to be responsible. Responsible. Well, you know, it's somebody else's fault that this happened. No, be responsible. You take care of it. All right, so let's go on. Verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Now, we're going to see three different times to where David ran, and I got this right here. Not only was David obedient and responsible, but he was diligent. You know, if there's any one thing I can't stand, is when somebody is slow. It's like, don't be slow. I mean, do it wrong, but do it fast. You know, I don't care. Just do it. You know, I don't really mean that. But I drove a bus for 10 years. When you're in the ministry, it doesn't always get to be peaches and cream. So I drove a bus for 10 years. And in that amount of time, I would go up to a stop. And I'm not kidding you. I don't know what it is about being 15 or 16 years old, a young man in high school, but they have to walk like this. And I'm sitting there, and it's like you're at this stop, and there's cars behind you, and there's cars over here, and this kid's over here, and I mean, he's like a turtle walking across the road. And I'm thinking, that don't work on my bus because you're going to get left. So he gets about right in the middle of the road, and I blow the horn. And he looks up, and I said, get in the bus. And he's like, boom, up and sits down. And I just sit there and I think, you know, get that mindset out of you of just being slow, of being, now listen, I'm not saying be sloppy. You know, you need to do.